Well, appreciate you being here tonight. Ask the Lord to help us, that we would say the right things, and it would be a benefit to all of us. Thinking this evening of the holiday that's coming up this next week, I'm sure all of you have some anticipated time with family, maybe extended family, maybe your immediate family, and I trust that you have a enjoyable time and a time of reflecting on the blessings of life. I'd like to look at a verse over here in Colossians, the third chapter. I've always been fascinated with how this verse is structured. Maybe we'll read up above where we want to get to. It's talking about our one of the things it says at the top of the chapter in my Bible is, He exhorteth to be heavenly minded, sundry relative duties. So, general encouragement, admonition, advice you could find in this chapter. And he starts out by talking about how that we were all in a place being very needy. We needed salvation. We needed an experience with the Lord. And as it progresses down through the chapter, he begins to give us advice on how to get along with one another and how to be a light to the world. And maybe we'll pick up in verse 11. In this verse, in the beginning, he's talking about the application of the gospel is not just for a particular race of people or a particular family or group of people. It's for everybody. He says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. I believe salvation, relationship with Christ is for all mankind. I don't believe it's exclusive to the United States of America or to Europe. It extends to all the corners of the globe. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So there's all of these things are things that he says to put them on, to acquire an appetite for them, to practice and cultivate them. We only become proficient at the things that we practice and cultivate. I'm not proficient in things that other people are proficient. Generally, it's because I don't practice. But maybe particularly I don't have a desire to practice. And maybe I don't have an inclination to do some of those. I don't ride a unicycle. Maybe I'm too old to learn, but there was a day that I could have, I'm confident. And I see some of the young people, it's kind of a little bit of a, I'm just going to call it a fad, amongst us right now. I see a lot of the young men, they like to ride a unicycle and ride it on a gravel drive. It looks like it's just really hazardous to do that. And then they've got the ones that you got to get up on a fence post to get started because the seat's up about head high, and they go riding that down the gravel road too. And that's, how do they do it? They practice. they're proficient at it. You want to have these kind of things in your life, you're going to have to practice being kind. You're going to have to practice being humble. You're going to have to practice being meek and practice being long-suffering. These aren't natural human characteristics. These are things that comes from surrendering ourselves to the Lord and just kind of trying to set the stage for what we want to get to. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So the instruction is to follow the pattern that Christ gave us, to forgive those that have offended us, to forgive those that maybe cause us a lot of distress in our minds. It's verse 14, it's what I want us to, and 15. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity, I believe, is talking about love, compassion to our fellow man. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's something about this verse that sounds like a command. And be ye thankful. Now, I remember telling my children things like, you've got your smile on upside down. You've got to turn it over. That's not acceptable. They were unhappy about something, and I remember forcing them to smile. And I told them, I said, I don't care how silly it feels or how silly it looks, you have to smile at command. All right? So that sounds kind of rigid sometimes, but you know, there was a point that they were unhappy because they was cultivating unhappy thoughts and attitudes and stuff. But their problems wasn't that big of problems back then anyway. So I told them, you have to smile. Either smile or be disciplined, one of the two. So I remember my mother telling me, or probably my dad too, you either start smiling or I'll give you something to frown about. So I don't want us to get the perspective of that God is harsh and rigid, because I believe He's a loving God. But He said here, be ye thankful. I believe He's trying to tell us that we need to plan on it. That we need to prepare ourselves to be thankful. Today we have a younger generation, and those of us that's older classify the younger ones as the ones that feel entitled all the time. Well, I will tell you that entitledness is permeating all of our society. You don't have to be a young person to feel entitled in our world today. And people that are entitled don't really feel any obligation to be thankful. Have you ever noticed that? They take it, it belongs to me. You should have already been bowing at my feet or whatever it is. They're whole mindset is that the world, everybody owes them something. So the whole mindset, maybe that's the slogan that we need. Maybe we need to start commanding people to be thankful. I don't know. Please understand the point of the thought this evening. But the Apostle Paul here said, be ye thankful. So I'd like for us to think about that. And I'd like to propose something at the end here, but I'd like for us to think about being prepared to be thankful. So let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go to Leviticus, the 7th chapter, and this is the law. This is the thing that makes us cringe because of all the requirements the law had. And I want us to look at verse 11 beginning, and it says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cake, he shall offer for his offering unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings, and of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning." Maybe I'll stop right there. That's probably enough details to overwhelm you. And it's enough specifics to get us to wondering just how complicated is it to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving under the old law. I'm thankful that we've been delivered from having to offer blood sacrifices. I'm very grateful for that. And it's through Jesus that we've had that access. But you know, I grew up having what we call running water in the house. I never had to go out to a pump and pump water. I knew a lady that didn't have running water in her house, and I thought it was kind of neat to go visit her with her grandson. He and I was in school together, and we would visit her, and you had a little bucket you poured in the hand pump, and you pumped that handle until you got water coming up, and you got whatever water you needed, and then you fill the bucket up so you could prime the pump the next time. But she didn't have a faucet in the house that you could open up and get water. You know, I grew up thinking that every house ought to have a faucet in it, at the sink, at the lavatory. We take things for granted once we have them. Unfortunately, we'll take the plan of salvation for granted. The Lord paid the price and we'll just eat it up. In the Old Testament, they were given a method and a plan to follow to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The New Testament, we read where Paul said to the church at Colossae, "Be ye thankful." So how much is it too much to ask us to be prepared to be thankful? Is that asking too much? I want to read some of comments that a commentator said about the sacrifices, specifically about the thank offering, and the wave offering and the heave offering. On the thank offering, he says, it comes from a Hebrew word to confess, offerings made to God with public confession of his power, goodness, and mercy. I wonder how many times we've premeditated thanking the Lord for his power, his goodness, and his mercy. It's pretty easy for us to premeditate what we'll say if we get a chance about the grievances we've suffered, isn't it? It's pretty easy for us to think about, if I get a chance, I'm going to let them know just how bad this really is. Many times we come to service burdened down with our troubles in life, and I believe it's a good place to come with our burdens and troubles of life. But I also believe that it would be good for us to premeditate about thinking about coming to service with the thought of offering thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. On wave offering, it comes from a Hebrew word that means to stretch out. An offering of the first fruits stretched out before God in acknowledgement of His providential goodness. This offering was moved from the right hand to the left. Specific way that they were supposed to do it in the Old Testament. But the point of the wave offering is it was something that was stretched out in acknowledgement to God that His providential care, because He's God, because He gives me life, because He gives me an intellect to use. You've been benefited because you've got a brain and you can think? I would say you probably would have to say, yes, I'm very thankful that the Lord has given me an intellect and I can sort out what I ought to do first. And I can walk and I can talk and I'm able to have gainful employment and all of those kind of things. It's God's blessings that enables us to do that. It's not because we're so superior in ourselves. Look at what happens when people forget God. They begin to bite and devour one another. It's not a good thing. There's a lot of confusion and heartache that happens when people exclude God. The heave offering. We read a little bit about that there in Leviticus. It comes from a word that means to lift up. Because the offering was lifted up towards heaven as a wave offering. In token of the kindness of God in granting rain and fruitful seasons, and filling the heart with food and gladness. As the wave offering was moved from right to left, so the heave offering was moved up and down. And in both cases, this was done several times. These offerings had a blessed tendency to keep alive in the breasts of the people a due sense of their dependence on the divine providence and bounty of their obligation to God for His continual and liberal supply of all their wants. I like the way He said that, of all of their wants. He's promised that He would see that we didn't go without food and without clothes and that we would have sufficient, but by and large we have more than the bare necessities, don't we? We have a good life. And how much trouble would it be to command ourselves to be prepared to give thanks? The holidays coming up, somewhere along the line, whether it was their original intent or not, somewhere along the line, someone give this holiday the name Thanksgiving. And we get together, and most of the time it's to fill our bellies with delicacies and be miserable because we ate too much turkey and all of those kind of things. But I wonder how much time we devote to expressing thanksgiving to one another, to God. For His providence, His protection, the abilities that He blesses us all with. I think it's a mistake for us to assume that it's because I'm so intelligent or I'm so strong or I'm so talented and that's why I have success. I want to always be in a place that I give God the credit for what He blesses me with, what He blesses us with collectively. I'm very grateful for that. And I want to be more purposeful in offering thanksgiving. So I want to challenge us. We have a Wednesday night service, and it's an opportunity for us to all express the things the Lord has maybe dealt with us during the week, and maybe a verse or a scripture that we have read, and it's been a blessing to us. I'd like to challenge us as we go home tonight, and as we begin to think about the service Wednesday night, I'd like for us to all come back prepared to give some thanksgiving. Maybe make yourself a list of the things that you can genuinely be thankful for and be prepared to share that. I think it's good. You know how we have, and I'm thankful for this, but we have so many things that make it easy for us to stop one thing and go and do something else. Have you ever noticed that? We can stop our work and take a shower and put clean clothes on and be out of the house. Most of us can. And what does it take us? 20 minutes maybe? Maybe 30 if you're really dragging your feet? There's no way you could have done that 100 years ago. It takes you'd have to have an army to help you do it if you did. Somebody'd have to put water on the stove and heat it up. It just didn't happen that quick. The irons. How many of y'all get frustrated waiting on your iron to warm up? Probably not. If it is, it's broke. You need to go get another one. I mean, you plug it in, turn it on, and before you can turn around three times, it's hot. And you can use your iron. You don't have to set it on the stove. You don't have to guess at, is it too hot to burn my clothes? You can adjust the temperature. We don't get up in the middle of the night and put more wood in the stove. We just go to bed, and the temperature is the same all night long. Most of us. Maybe some of you get up during the night and put a stick of wood in the stove. But everything is so convenient. And how many times do we say, thank you, Lord, that life is so posh for me? I have it better than the aristocrats had in years past. I don't know. Just recently, I was driving my pickup and it quit me. The first time in years that I've ever been stranded. We just don't have those kind of problems hardly anymore. I mean, if your car breaks, I'll tell you, this is kind of funny, but it's real. There was a time that my mother said her dad carried an extra transmission in the trunk. They were going somewhere and the car broke and he stopped along the side of the road and changed the transmission. Now, if I loaded a transmission in our trunk before we headed out to La Ronja or someplace like that, my wife would really have questions. What are you doing? We're just not thinking about breaking down. We just don't. Are we thankful? How much time did it take for them to prepare this sacrifice? It's one thing I want us to go home with. They weren't able to just say, well, let's see. You know, there's four or five things come to my mind. We'll just say, thank the Lord for whatever they are. No, if they were going to offer a sacrifice, they had to go catch the thing and bring it in. They had to prepare the unleavened bread. They had to, whatever it was, and they didn't have convection ovens and all of those kind of things. They had to get the temperature just right in the whatever they baked it in. It was a lengthy process, and there was some thought that when they intentionally came to the place of worship to offer thanksgiving. That's what I want you to go home with. They intentionally came to the place of worship intending to say, thank you, Lord, for what? For His power? For His goodness? It was a public confession. for His mercy, for His providence, for His blessings on the efforts of your hands, that your fields prospered, that your business was profitable, that the Lord made your hands skillful. I'm going to give you a little tidbit tonight. As a young man, starting out in my line of work, I went to visit Brother Clifford Wilson a number of times before I was married. He was the pastor of the congregation there at Four Corners when I first moved there. And he always wanted to pray with us before we left. And his prayer always included a prayer that God would make my hands skillful in my line of work. And you know, I believe the Lord's answered that prayer. And I'm very thankful for that. I don't take that for granted. I don't take that because, oh, I'm such a great person and I had a good parent and I had a good exposure and all those kind of things. I feel like it's a blessing from God. I feel like it's an answer to prayer. So I just want to challenge us to come back Wednesday night prepared with thanksgiving. God deserves it. I need to do it. I need to take the words of the Apostle Paul and all of his sundry advices and counsels to us. I need to take this command, this advice to heart. Be thankful. I want to live by that. I want it to be something that I don't let slip away. I don't want to become an entitled person that feels like God owes me something. I feel like it's God's providence and His blessings that has helped me thus far in life, and I'm looking to Him to help us the rest of the way. You pray for me.